This is an ABC podcast.
Tonight, I announce that the budget is back in the black and Australia is back on track.
It has taken us some 10 years and more to get back to where we were when the Howard Costello government left office. The decision Australians will make in 5 weeks, it won't just determine the next 3 years, it will determine the next decade that Australians live in.
2 years isn't really that much time, but in politics, it may as well be 2 decades. And when you throw in a pandemic, it's basically eternity. Before COVID hit, the government talked up a surplus often and loudly. So with an election on the horizon, is it going to return to that goal? I'm Claudia Long.
And I'm Stephen Smiley. And today on The Signal, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, is giving a speech later today in which the government's budgeting goals seem to be shifting again. So what is the big plan here? And what specifically is the Coalition going to do about the mountain of debt that it's built up in just the past year? Could we get you to introduce yourself, David, your name and title for us?
Yeah, David Spears, host of Insiders. And I'll just turn my computer onto silent so it doesn't ping like that.
I'll do the same up here.
There we go. All right.
Alrighty. So I guess, you know, for a long time in Australia, we're sort of used to hearing from conservative governments, from Liberal National Coalition governments that, you know, government spending needs to be within government's means, budget surpluses are the way to go. Can you sketch out for us, you know, until basically like January of last year, what we expect to hear from the Coalition on these kinds of questions?
Yeah, so the conservative side of politics are always the small government, debt's bad, we are better at managing the books, we'll give you a bigger surplus than the other lot, right? This goes back to, well, it goes way back, but the 80s and 90s, they'd roll out what was called the debt truck to show how bad things were under the Keating and Hawke governments. More recently, in fact, only a couple of years ago, you might remember we've had years of deficit and they said, we're going to get you back in a surplus, back in black. And they even had coffee mugs that had the back in black logo on it. So, it was central to the last election, this idea that the Coalition, the Morrison government, would be the ones to get us back into the black.
Yeah. In fact, in 2019, the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, literally said he'd done it on budget night.
For the first time in 12 years, our nation is again paying its own way.
Even though back then the projected surplus was still a year off and yet to actually be delivered.
Treasurer, you just told the Parliament that the budget is back in the black. It's not, it's still in the red.
It's actually a $7.1 billion surplus for 2019-2020 with $45 billion of surpluses over the next 4 years.
This Treasurer, we're in 2018-2019. It's a deficit this year of $4.2 billion.
Lee, it's the credible trajectory over the next 4 years, which has been the product of disciplined decision-making over the last 6 years.
I'll come to the projected surplus in a second and the factors that are involved in that, but just for the sake of accuracy, can we agree that we are in the 2018-19 calendar year and that this year there is still a deficit?
Well, what budgets do is they set out the numbers and the trajectory for that year and the years ahead.
And then, like a hopefully once-in-a-lifetime pandemic rolls into Australia, I think we've all remembered that moment. What did that mean for this focus of the Morrison government?
Well, that smashed the coffee mug pretty quickly. So a recession, a pandemic, record levels of government spending were required. And rightly, the government opened the wallet, out went the money on JobKeeper, JobSeeker, all these big, big programs. And suddenly we were looking at debt spiralling to, in fact, it's forecast to go above $1 trillion, which I think can be hard for a lot of us to get our heads around. But that was the right thing to do. And the argument was, well, we haven't given up completely on tackling debt. We're still going to get back to it, but when the unemployment rate gets back down below, they said, comfortably below 6% was the benchmark they set.
And once the recovery has taken hold and the unemployment rate is on a clear path back to pre-crisis levels, comfortably below 6%, we will move to the second phase where there is a deliberate shift from providing temporary and targeted support to stabilising gross and net debt as a share of the economy.
This was a bit of a nod, I suppose, to their supporters, that the party faithful, and indeed many on the government's backbench, that they weren't completely giving up on something that's dear to their heart, and that is paying off debt, responsible financial fiscal management.
And we're of course below that 6% now. We're kind of sitting at 5.8%. And the goalposts are about to shift again, right?
Yeah, so what's happened is the unemployment rate has recovered, the economy has recovered much faster than everyone thought, including Treasury, and suddenly unemployment is now comfortably below 6%. In fact, it's come down from 5.8% to 5.6%. Sure, it's expected to blip up a little thanks to the end of JobKeeper, but most expect that it will still keep trending down. So this is great news economically. Politically, it does create a bit of a problem for the government, because do they really want to start repairing the budget, paying off that debt in the lead up to an election, which is probably in the next 12 months? No, they don't. It's not a great time to be snapping the wallet shut and saying, we're done spending money, now we're going to start clawing it back. So now they're shifting. This budget, which is coming week after next, will represent a real shift in the government's approach to debt. And the Treasurer, in fact, Josh Frydenberg, is today laying out, he's preparing the ground for this and signalling a new approach. He's not being explicit about the new benchmark, but he is saying they're going to strive to get unemployment below 5%. Before they even start trying to repair the budget. So it is quite a shift, and it's essentially saying unemployment is now more important than budget repair. When we get unemployment low enough, enough people are in jobs, the budget will automatically repair itself. More people paying tax, fewer people relying on income support. And this is what he's going to lay out, the Treasurer, this whole new approach to trying to repair the budget bottom line.
Yeah, so if we've decided that budget repair is a task for further back, despite the relatively good performance of the economy, that better than expected, better than modelled unemployment rate, what is this budget going to look like? What are the signs and the noises that you're hearing?
Yeah, so there's still going to be a lot of spending. Now, we know JobKeeper's come to an end. We know they're not going to increase the unemployment benefit JobSeeker again. Where they are going to spend money are things like aged care. That'll be a big one. They've got to respond to the Aged Care Royal Commission. That'll be billions of dollars.
Reporting, the Aged Care Royal Commission has recommended a massive overhaul of the system. The federal government says it's considering the recommendations, including those on how to pay for the improvements.
Mental health, we'll see a lot more money there. And clearly we know the government has a lot of problems when it comes to women's economic security and women's safety. So we'll get a bit in the budget, probably more to come after the budget on that. The other one to watch out for, and we may not know about it until budget night itself, tax cuts. This is dear to the heart of Conservatives as well. And the government didn't take a lot to the last election, but the one big plan they did take was for tax cuts. They've already introduced a number of stages, but the stage three of the tax cuts isn't due to kick in until 2024. They may bring that forward. This is a tax cut for middle and high income earners. It flattens the scales is what it does. It means everyone earning from $45,000 right up to $200,000 a year would pay the flat rate of 30% tax. It's a big structural reform. A lot of complaints that it's not fair, that it unfairly gives too much to the top end. But I wouldn't be surprised if the government does this on budget night to try and keep stimulating the economy and looking after its own supporters.
Just with the tax cuts, because I have to confess, I'm not an economist, I've only done high school maths, but how do they square with wanting to spend more, having less money in the bank and wanting to kind of spend up?
So, look, the cost of just this stage three of the tax cuts, as they're called, is eye-watering. We're talking about $130 billion, and that means yes, as the government says, more people keeping more of their money in their pockets, but less money coming to the government, to the Treasury, that can then be spent on all sorts of things. So, this is a huge cost to the budget, and there is going to be a lot of argument, there already has been, about whether this is the best way to help the economy, because it is heavily favoured towards middle and high income earners. Labor would argue that money's better spent elsewhere in the economy to stimulate growth. So this debate will play out, and that will rage until the next election. But from the government's perspective, it believes this is an appropriate way to spend a huge amount of money to put what that cash back into the economy.
And in a funny way, right, I mean, a tax cut, which is spending because it's not helping the government with that budget repair task that we talked about. The idea, as you were setting out there, was that people that are not paying as much in tax have more money to slosh around on whatever that will stimulate the economy.
Yeah, there'll be an endless debate. The government will resist any suggestion that it's spending, but it's certainly foregone revenue, if you like, money they would have normally received in tax that they won't be receiving. So it is an expense to the budget. It costs the budget, in other words, and it costs a lot, as I say, about $130 billion.
Now, the tax cuts themselves have to get through Parliament, right? That's been a bit of a problem in the past.
Yeah, so what the government did very soon after the election, when Labor was still licking its wounds, was it bowled up the entire tax plan it took to the election in one piece of legislation. And Labor, that put them under a lot of pressure, but ultimately the government was able to get the package through the Parliament. So it has passed through.
Income tax cuts for more than 11 million Australians will start to appear in pay packets soon after Federal Parliament approved the centrepiece of the government's budget. It comes as
But as I say, this stage three isn't meant to kick in for a few more years, not until 2024. And Labor's been keeping its cards close to its chest on this, saying, look, we've got another election before then. We can decide what to do after the next election in relation to this. Well, maybe not anymore. If the government brings it forward and says we're going to start these stage three tax cuts now or from July, yeah, Labor will have to make a call. They'll have to, again, pass legislation through the Parliament to do that, and that'll put a fair bit of heat on Anthony Albanese and Labor.
We have talked about this budget repair that has to happen eventually, right? It might not be happening now, and potentially we'll be going to an election without really a particularly satisfying answer about when it will happen. But when it eventually happens, because we do know that the Liberal Party and the National Party in particular, but Labor too, like to talk up the prospects of a surplus one day, how are they going to, you know, that mountain of debt you described before, how are we going to get on top of it?
It's an excellent question, and it's one that, you know, a lot of young Australians need to think about as well, because let's face it, they're going to be the ones ultimately having to pay this off down the track. The government's new approach to this that, you know, we're going to hear more from the Treasurer on is essentially that getting unemployment lower is going to automatically repair the budget. Here's what he means by that. Every 200,000 people additionally that are employed means the government has to spend $3 billion less in income support to them, and they get $2 billion more in tax from them. So it's a $5 billion improvement to the budget, roughly, for every 200,000 people additionally in work. So this is the approach that, well, let's face it, a lot of economists have actually been making this point for a long time. Now the government seems to be adopting it as well. You get more people in work, it automatically means the budget will improve. And it means that debt mountain, as a proportion of the size of our economy, gets a little bit smaller. As our economy grows, that debt shrinks in percentage terms. So politically, it's a far more painless way of trying to tackle this problem rather than cutting spending and so on. But it does mean, I think, that we're going to be living with this debt for quite some time.
And in terms of that phrase budget repair, right, because obviously it's a nice kind of sounding word, you know, repair, the government and Labor, everyone loves to use it. In terms of it being applied in practice, how much of this is going to come down to eventually having to impose cuts and some kind of austerity?
So there are kind of three ways you can repair the budget or pay down debt. One of them is to increase taxes. And yes, Labor at the last election took some plans on negative gearing and franking credits and so on, that were going to increase the overall tax take. I don't think they're going to go anywhere near that. We know the government isn't going to increase taxes either. The second way is to cut spending. Now, again, I don't think either side are going to be willing to say, you know, we're actually going to hack into spending on hospitals, schools, social welfare and so on. But it's this third way, which is growing the size of the economy and therefore shrinking as a proportion the size of that debt. is the best way to do it. And I think there's, you know, a fair degree of political unanimity on this now as well. So you've either got to increase taxes, cut spending, or grow the economy, and it's grow the economy that seems to be the favoured option now.
Given that this is all happening now, this speech that Josh Frydenberg is going to be delivering today, this shift in the goalposts, and the context being that there's an election coming along, how confident do you think the government is about its prospects of winning the election? How much should we read into this repositioning in that context?
Look, I think the government is still, you know, quietly confident about its election chances, but we're aware that if it is still 12 months away, the election, a lot could happen in that time. It's had a pretty torrid few months at the start of this year, you know, over various issues from the rape allegations, the vaccine rollout problems, all of that. That's really battered the government. It's been hoping that this budget in a couple of weeks will be an opportunity to reset and get the focus back onto its agenda. Look, we'll see. Very hard to make predictions about politics these days because it just swings so wildly. So much could happen. So much could go wrong even with the vaccine rollout and COVID outbreaks. And so we don't know. So look, right now, I think the government, you know, are feeling a bit better than they were perhaps a couple of months ago in the midst of the focus on the Brittany Higgins and Christian Porter allegations and so on, but still knows that it's got a long way to go to be in a comfortable election position.
That's the Signal for today. Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying the podcast, and we hope you are, please take a minute or two to write us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to get in touch with the team, our email is thesignal@abc.net.au.
And we will be back right here tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.